You just have to keep at it. You can't ever become, you know, comfortable. You just got to keep going and keep pushing yourself outside your comfort zone and trying new things, and you'll be successful, I think.
From the American Craft Spirits Association and Craft Spirits Magazine, this is the Craft Spirits Podcast. I'm John Page, and today on the program, we're joined by Callan Romero and Laura Walters of Denver-based Ironton Distillery and Craft House. Callan is the co-founder and a Colorado native, and Laura is the head distiller who studied winemaking at Oregon State University and got her start in the spirits industry at Stranahan's Colorado Whiskey. In this episode, Callan and Laura discuss the benefits of making craft spirits in Colorado, launching Ironton and crafting gin, whiskey, and a wide range of spirits, their pride in being a women-owned and distilled company, and much more. Ironton also hosted ACSA's recent judging of craft spirits, and will be announcing the results of that competition on February 27th at ACSA's 11th Annual Distillers Convention and Vendor Trade Show in Denver. You can learn more and see the schedule of events at AmericanCraftSpirits.org. To kick things off, I asked Callan and Laura why they're excited to have the distilling community gather in their backyard for ACSA's convention. And this is Laura starting.
I'm super excited to get everybody into our spot. We're part of the distillery tours the Sunday before. So we're super excited to show everybody around our current location and just, you know, have everybody out here to see what Colorado has to offer in the spirits world. I mean, we've definitely come a long way as an industry, and it's really exciting to see what people are doing. And the convention is just a great networking opportunity to meet other people in your realm. So I think it's super fun.
Yeah, it's a fun industry to be a part of. Lots of great camaraderie, and we're excited to highlight Colorado distilleries.
What in your opinion, in both of your opinions, makes Colorado such a great state for distilling and craft spirits?
We've got great resources here. You know, our water is amazing, and our grain that we grow here is fantastic. We also have a super awesome program at CSU for distillation and brewing that we kind of lean on as well as a community to try new things, especially in the crop growing sector. So that's super cool. And there's just a lot of us, and we're all super willing to help each other out. And like Callan said, it's an awesome camaraderie that we have between each other. And it doesn't ever feel like a competition with anybody. It just feels like a community to me.
Yeah, just to echo that, you know, we're all relatively new in the distilling game, you know, compared to Tennessee or Kentucky distilleries. So we're all kind of in this together, and yeah, it's just a lot of fun to be innovative and creative and think outside of the box with all of the fellow distilleries around here.
So you all opened in 2018. Who were you looking up to in the distilling world in Colorado, in Denver? Who was helpful to you as you were getting going?
I think all Colorado distilleries kind of look up to Todd Leopold, let's be honest. So, and they're right up the road from us. I came from Stranahan, so I had a lot of connections through them. And another one of our close friends actually started a distillery around the same time as we did. So we kind of worked up together and bounced a lot of ideas off of each other, and it just like worked out really well. But yeah, we're all super young, so we're all kind of trying to find our way together.
And there's actually a new distillery license within Colorado called a distillery pub license. So we were one of the first distilleries to utilize that versus the manufacturing license. So that allows us to have a larger tasting room operation. So we're able to serve beer, wine, and then we have a full kitchen as well. So full bar, restaurant, and event space here at Ironton.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was told by my colleague Jeff Cioletti to ask for your garlic knots recipe.
I don't know if she'll give it to you, but you can ask.
Okay. Maybe on the sly we'll email you. But I want to get in more to, I guess, to the space and to kind of the experience a little bit later, but like still on that, the genesis of the distillery, like when was that first idea to open a distillery, kind of in a nutshell, like walk me through the genesis of Ironton.
Yeah, so we opened our doors in 2018. About 2 years prior to that is kind of when the initial conversation started. I actually approached my dad about this, small little retirement project back then, and mine and Laura's paths crossed shortly after that.
And so Laura, you were initially in wine, right? And then you ended up at Stranahan's. Talk about that kind of shift from wine to distilling and how that came about.
Yeah, I wasn't in the wine industry for very long. I went to school at Oregon State and I got my degree in enology. But I was really only in the wine world for a couple of years. I worked in Eastern Washington and then in New Zealand and a little bit here and there in Oregon. But I moved to Colorado pretty much right out of school. And the wine industry here is pretty minimal if you're not on the Western Slope. So I made the shift over to spirits, and I actually like the spirit world a lot more than I did the wine world. Not that I don't love wine, I do miss it on occasion, but it was actually a pretty natural ease into the spirits world. There's a lot of similarities. I think that the wine industry is more similar to the distillation industry than the beer industry is, just like culture-wise. So that was a pretty easy shift, I think, for me, and a good one.
And Callan, what about you? What was your background before this? What led you to a distillery versus a brewery or some kind of other operation?
Yeah, I didn't have any experience in the industry, actually. My background's more on the marketing side of things. I grew up here in Colorado and just loved the food and beverage industry here in the Denver Boulder area, and always wanted to own my own business. So it just kind of morphed into where we are now after meeting Laura.
How did you meet?
I was secretly looking for a new job because I was packaging manager at Stranahan's, was my last role there, and I was hating it because I hate packaging. So I was just kind of looking around, and a buddy of mine actually introduced me and was like, "Hey, they're looking for a head distiller." And then we went out and got drinks and really clicked, and everything kind of worked out.
Laura told me that her spirit animal was Miley Cyrus. So I was like, okay, this could work.
That's awesome. So Laura, you've basically been around, since the beginning too. Not a co-founder, but
We consider her a founder, honestly.
So at that time when you're starting out, I'm looking now at like your spirits list, and you guys are making like everything, whiskey, rum, gin, vodka, absinthe, liqueurs, more. Like, was that always part of the plan to, make such a wide range of spirits?
Yeah, so the idea behind it was to be this craft house. So we're making everything that we can in-house. And so we just kind of started like, what do you want to make? Obviously, whiskey and gin and vodka, but then we kind of wanted to experience more like one-off things like our aquavit, and our shochu, kind of trying to make us a little more unique in the Colorado industry. So we just started messing around with recipes and came up with some good ones, and then some of them stuck, some of them didn't. So yeah, but the idea was to just make everything that we can in-house so that all of our cocktails were being crafted with stuff that we produce in-house versus bringing stuff in.
That license that you mentioned before, the pub license, does that mean you're able to bring in outside spirits like products?
Yep. So the only thing that we have on our menu that we don't make in-house is our tequila. We just bring that in for the bar.
Yeah. Well, as I was wondering, because I know, like, isn't it, if you don't have that license in Colorado, do you have to make everything that you serve? Is that the deal? Yeah. And like, so there's certain right. things that are just like super hard to recreate, right?
Yeah. So if you have a manufacturing license, you can't bring in like a vermouth because that's a wine product. So we are fortunate and we can bring in vermouth so we can make martinis and all that stuff.
Gotcha. What would you all consider, what do you consider to be your flagship spirit?
Any of the whiskeys, maybe?
I think we usually say that our bourbon is our best seller.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also really proud of our gin.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you think sets apart both the bourbon and the gin from something you might find somewhere else.
Our gin is a very unique recipe. So we use ponderosa pine needles in it. And it's a new American style gin. So it's going to be a little more floral, but it still has a lot of juniper, but it's more heavy juniper pine on the nose than it is on the palate. So it's going to be a little sweeter, a little more cinnamon on the palate. So most people who really don't like, you know, a dry gin will still like this because it has that aroma of a classic gin, but it just tastes a lot different, which I think kind of lends well to people that don't typically like gin. Our bourbon, we make with all of our locally sourced grain, partnering up with the Whiskey Sisters that grow on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. So they grow all of our blue corn and our rye. So it's really fresh ingredients. And it just makes for a nice, sweet, nutty, spicy whiskey.
We did a story on Colorado, or I guess Denver area distilleries in our issue running up to the convention. And, you know, one thing that like was kind of like the resounding theme through it all was just the bounty of like raw ingredients that are around you in Colorado, which is, you know, I know that, we know that, but I think there's a lot of people around the country that like, that's a surprise to them. And then also just like the idea of aging spirits in Colorado is always a fun thing that comes up. So talk to me a little bit about that from your experience, you know, how nice it is to be able to age spirits in Colorado.
It's great. I think that is a huge reason why Colorado whiskey is so delicious is, you know, we get these crazy temperature fluctuations and it is really dry here. So the amount of evaporation we're getting, though it might be sad when you open up a barrel and it is really, really low, I do think that it makes for an amazing product because you're just evaporating off all of those off flavors in there. You're basically expediting your aging process like crazy. So I think it's awesome, except for when you open a barrel and there's nothing left in it. And that's just a really sad day.
What other whiskey is in barrels right now that you're excited about, able to talk about, you know, what's down the road for you all whiskey wise?
We're working on some kind of cask finish. We haven't decided what casks we want to do yet, but we're trying to partner up with a local winery to grab some of their barrels. But we are planning on releasing our first bottled and bond release this year because our spirits are finally aging into that category. So we're really excited about that. But yeah, we're just kind of, we're still pretty young, so we're in our infancy for our aging process, but we're getting there. We're stacking up barrels left and right, so hopefully we'll have more exciting things coming shortly.
In terms of the other spirits, is there anything that you haven't played around with yet that you're still excited to work with or thinking about working with?
So our new production manager is a huge Amaro guy. He is obsessed with Amaro. So he's been begging me to make some more Amaros. And I think we're going to try and do maybe an Amaro line that's all aged in our old whiskey casks. Our original Amaro we have aging right now in our old bourbon casks, and it is shaping up quite nicely. So I think we're going to experiment with some more just aperitifs.
That's always exciting. That's fun. Nice. So kind of talking more about the experience, you know, when somebody comes to Ironton, what can they expect? You've got food, you've got tastings, you've got cocktails. Like, what's the tours, I'm assuming? Like, what do you recommend to somebody who's coming into town to check you out?
Well, outside of our amazing spirits and cocktails, of course, we're well known for our patio. All Coloradans love a good patio. So we've got about a 10,000 square foot patio right in the heart of the Rhino Art District, which is just north of downtown. So that's certainly a big draw for everyone on those sunny Colorado days. Post up with your dog and have a pizza made from our spent grain distilling process and a delicious cocktail. Got yourself a good Saturday afternoon.
What are your your personal favorite cocktails there that you all offer?
Good question.
I personally just love an old fashioned with our bourbon. Can't go wrong with that.
I am an espresso martini gal, so I love an espresso martini with our coffee liqueur because you don't need vodka because our coffee liqueur is quite strong.
Okay. it seems like you all also are offering events. Is that a big part of what you do as well?
Yeah, another side of the business that's really important to us is the events, because we do have all of this amazing space. So we do a lot of weddings, a lot of public events, whether that's, movie screenings, or we do a big harvest festival in October, which is our favorite event of the year. So we like to have a good time.
So we're talking about this awesome space that you have and the location, and we're kind of dancing around the elephant in the room that you are planning to move. So what are you able to say about that right now?
We do have plans to expand and move in the hopefully near future. It'll just simplify a lot of things. We'll be able to increase our production, have barrel cooperage on site. So a lot of good things going for us there, but unfortunately we will be closing down our current location here in Rhino here in the future.
And that's, I mean, obviously, like I found that online. So like, it's not like a huge secret. I've heard it talked about in some other podcasts when I was, researching you all. So I assume that it's known around like by your locals and things like that. So how are you navigating that with like your local community kind of knowing that that's going to happen?
Yeah. So it is somewhat well known. Friends and family for sure know. But we are still in the process of some final approvals with the city that we're moving to. So those are happening in March, and we'll have more details and be able to chat further after that.
Okay. And so right now, are you not able, you don't have barrel cooperage on site?
No, in Denver, it's against fire code. So we have to
Right,
have
those.
a branch warehouse. So.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. Well, can you say that the where you're planning to go, like you plan to offer really kind of the same experience? Is that the hope?
Absolutely. Yep. Just going to be bigger and better.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's great though, because that's like you're living the dream. Like you've started this thing and you're able to grow it, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're still only about 20 minutes from our current spot. So
Okay.
not far.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm assuming that probably is taking up a lot of your time and your energy right now. Is there anything else going on in like the near future, release wise or event wise that you're excited to talk about?
We are actually in the process of a huge rebrand and repackaging. So that's going to launch around the same time we officially announce our move here in the next couple months. So everybody loves our packaging. We love it, but I think the new direction that we're going better captures the feel, the vibe, everything that we want Ironton to portray in the future.
What without giving it away, and obviously it's a podcast, so we're not going to show it. But what is that? What is it that you're trying to show in that rebrand?
So it'll just have kind of more fun, laid back, approachable spirits is really what we want to be known for. We feel that our current packaging, although it's beautiful, it feels a little more classic and rigid. And I think this new packaging direction is just going to be a lot more fun, laid back, and represents myself, Laura, and the Ironton brand.
And Colorado, our love about doors and all that fun stuff. So it's just making it a little more efficient, a little easier on the back end for production and packaging. So yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
Right now
Shane.
we're working with four different bottles, and this new move will put everything into just one single bottle type and shape and size.
Like, meaning, like, your whiskey is currently in one type of bottle, your gins are in a different one, and everything will be.
Yep,
Okay.
everything will be one very like uniform package, but everything will have its own pizzazz.
Okay. I can see how from like a logistical standpoint that would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And shameless plug, you'll want to enter next year's Craft Spirits Packaging Awards once that's out. So
Absolutely.
Well, so we're not gonna talk too much about like that near future, but I something I always love to ask people is what does Ironton, I don't ask other people what does Ironton look like, obviously, but what does Ironton look like 10 years from now?
I think, our goal is to be that household brand where when you go into liquor stores, it's your go-to grab. And we want to be in all of the states. We're working on trying to get outside of Colorado right now. So we would like to see our distribution just kind of take over the US. And yeah, everybody knows who we are. We're like Taylor Swift.
Oh wow. Yeah. Well, just
That's what we want to be in
okay.
10 years.
All right. I love how we've had a Taylor Swift reference and a Miley Cyrus reference on here. That's fun.
Millennial women. I mean, we love Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus.
I do too. So yeah, that's why I love it. All right, Callan, do you have anything to add to that kind of like 10-year outer, and you can go farther out too. You can go to 15 or 20 years if you want to.
Yeah, no, I agree. We're just starting to expand outside of Colorado now. So hopefully within the next year, we'll be in three or four more states. So excited to see that growth.
And you are shipping outside of Colorado though, or did I hear that
Yeah, we
wrong?
do have an online platform right now that you can ship directly to your home.
Okay, cool. Another thing I like to ask folks is advice you have to anyone out there who's starting a distillery, thinking about starting a distillery, considering a career as a distiller, and I would just love for each of you to answer that question.
Well, Laura was just chatting about this yesterday with that guy's daughter.
I would say, sometimes this industry is pretty grueling. You just kind of gotta keep at it, like just keep trying to innovate, keep trying to think of ways that you can stand out from the rest, because ultimately you have to find that something that's gonna make you pop, and have somebody buy your product over somebody else's, right? And you just have to keep at it. You can't ever become, comfortable. You just got to keep going and keep pushing yourself outside your comfort zone and trying new things, and you'll be successful, I think.
Yeah, a big word around here is adaptability and pivoting. We were open about a year and a half before COVID hit. So I think every day here has been different. So just kind of going in with that mindset, and I'm sure that goes for any new business, but adaptability and just sticking with it. It can be hard sometimes, lots of ups and downs, but it's very rewarding.
That's probably where I would end it for us, unless there's anything we didn't get to that you all think we should talk about.
Think so. Well, this isn't a huge, should I say it? It's not a huge part of Ironton, but it is an important part of our story as being women owned and distilled. As we all probably know, it's definitely a male dominated industry. So we're proud to be women owned, distilled. We have a lot of females in management here as well. Laura and I are both moms to two little kiddos and a dog, so we've got our hands full at home too. So yeah, just wanted to highlight that women in the industry, and we hope to see more women in the industry as things grow.
I was almost going to ask you about that earlier, just how you balance being a parent to young children, and like working at a distillery, right? Like essentially like a factory in one way, and a place where booze is made. Laura, on one of another podcast that I kind of listened to a little bit, I heard you t talk about bringing in your daughter, I think, and like wearing her into like Baby Bjorn or whatever, while you were giving tours, which I just thought was awesome.
It's definitely a lot of it is a juggling act, and yeah, we brought her in a lot because my daycare didn't open for a long time, and I was lucky enough to be able to just bring her in with me. And yeah, she's a distillery babe for sure. All of our kids have their own barrel, so they will be getting barrels when they turn 21.
Nice.
Well, we might drink them all before that, but we'll see. But yeah, it's, can I say it's a shit show? It's a shit show.
Yeah, you can say. Well, I mean, so like I'm a parent of a 5 and a 3-year-old, and just like, the last any parent who has gone through COVID, like no matter what age your kids were, I think it's hard. Like I often thought like the parents who had like kids in elementary school, like I felt the worst for them. But you know, talking to those folks, they feel bad for me too. So I don't know who really had it worse or if it matters, right? But yeah, it's just been, yeah, it's a shit show is a good word for it.
I was looking at Callan's mug that says shit show supervisor. I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you figure it out. But we both have each other, so yeah, at least we can be understanding there.
That, I mean, that is a really good point. Like that's to like have that kind of camaraderie and be going through the same kinds of things. And like, and if you can do all of that, like through like the pandemic and run a business, then you can do anything.
Yep, I agree. We've gotten through the worst of it, I
Yeah, I think it's
think.
best.
That's our program for today. Thanks again to Callan Romero and Laura Walters of Ironton Distillery and Craft House for joining us. You can learn more about the distillery at irontondistillery.com. And don't forget to check out americancraftspirits.org for details on ACSA's upcoming convention in Denver. We'll be back soon. Until then, thanks for listening and cheers.